Now, the hard part is whether I'm going to remember to do that when I'm done. Easy when we start, harder when it's at the end. So the week's Torah portion is Matot. Again, it's the last two in Numbers before we jump into Deuteronomy. So the first few Hebrew words that we'd be reading. Now, what's intriguing is this means said, like so-and-so said. Usually we'd say, Vadaber Yahweh. This Torah portion actually starts with Vadaber Moshe, Moses. Er Roshe, to the heads, those that are leaders. Hamatot, Leve, Livne, Israel, which would translate Moses spoke to the tribal leaders of the Israelites. Okay? Again, Moses spoke. Now, I am continuing with what I started last time. We started talking about this idea of Yahweh's will. Now, I'm going to spend about six slides doing a quick review to catch our minds up, and then we're going to start off in a different direction, okay? So, in regard to Yahweh's will, last time we met, this is what we talked about. We said that it was putting our plans aside to allow His to be accomplished. It was humbling ourselves to serve Him. It was truly being willing and open to change. And probably the hardest one for us is the flexible expectations. Because our expectations are what we're are our goals. They're what we're striving for. And so that they can be changed, say, on the way, is very difficult. I brought up Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, what I talked about last time is that Yahweh's will is based upon His word. Yahweh's word is always done. Now, notice in none of this, and I brought this up last time, there's no time frame given. He just says, what my word goes out to do, it's going to accomplish, and it will come back to me accomplishing the goal. Okay? I brought up Genesis 6:1-3. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, and the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, of whom they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now the point there is that it's the spirit of Yahweh that wrestles or strives with us. See, the word is the plan. You might say, so if we're going to do a metaphor of an architect and a builder. The architect and the actual drawings are the word. Or you might say Yahweh is the architect, the drawings are the word. The builder is the spirit. It makes the word become accomplished. It opens it. It breathes life into it. So I brought up John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things I said to you. Notice again, Yeshua is saying, I've been building all this up in you, but really it's the Spirit that's going to come and actually take those pieces and build them up, that you can use them. We talk about the Spirit opens and accomplishes Yahweh's word. The Spirit strives with us to accomplish Yahweh's will. So that's the Spirit's role. And that's where I want to delve into today, is the point of what is the Spirit doing? What is Yahweh's plan? And Yahweh has one set plan. See, Yahweh is not sitting back going, okay, well, Thatcher, I've got an individual plan and an individual plan. The specifics of how the plan works out might be different for Thatcher. for Rick here, but the plan's the same. All right? The plan is the same, and we'll see the plan and what the Spirit's trying to accomplish in us. Okay, so I want us to focus on this picture because this is another one of those pictures that I think are helpful for us to understand Yahweh, how He relates to His Word, and how that relates to His Spirit. Okay? So we're going to say that Yahweh is out here. Now, for me speaking right now, I have to be able to breathe. If I can't breathe, doesn't matter how much I sit here and try and do anything, you're not going to be able to understand anything. You see, the actual breath is what's going to cause my vocal cords to vibrate. Now, what's pretty awesome is my vocal cords will vibrate, and because there are molecules in the air that I breathe, those molecules vibrate. And what's even more awesome is that those vibrations somehow make it into your eardrums, causing your eardrums to vibrate, sending, I don't know what kind of signal to the brain, that you've been trained with sounds and letter sounds that you understand what I'm saying. So even if I were to be as far away from you as possible, okay, the point being is, from me, my words and my breath are going out. Here's Yahweh's word. The word for spirit is breath. It is the part of me that actually carries life. See, the vibrations don't carry life with it. They are part of it. Because I get to sit here and go to someone who's unconscious and go, live, live. But if I get down and breathe into their mouth, my breath, I can bring them back to life. So when we speak about this idea of the word and the breath, we're speaking about that the two different ways in which Yahweh touches our life. Okay? Now, these were lessons from last time. I just want to breeze through them. Our plans can blind us to His will. We saw that with Balaam. Struggling with Yahweh's will can begin with annoyances. If we do not heed the warnings, they get worse. The struggle is meant to break our pride and make us open to His plan or His will. Outward sign of the struggle manifests itself in frustration, outbursts of aggression, aggression projected on others, bitterness, and depression. These are all outward signs that you're being worked on and that you're struggling with what Yahweh's trying to do in you. And I want you to hold on to that idea of the outbursts of aggravation, the frustration. You're going to see that at the end of today, and you're not going to like what you're going to see. Okay? The purpose is of the struggle to slow us down, to stop us, to change our direction. They're meant to serve as a sign to us to seek Him. Meaning, oh, this is not happening the way I thought it would be. You know what? Instead of quickly falling into frustration, I'm going to start to pray now. They stand as a sign to that, a reminder to us. It's a way that He reveals Himself to us and to those around us. It's how He changes us and those around us. It's how it makes us more dependent on Him. And in the end, it's how He accomplishes His word. Okay? Now remember that His word is always accomplished. Not 90%, 70%, it's always accomplished. Now, that leads us to today's Torah portion. Numbers 31:21. Okay? So, we'll start there. Then, Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which Yahweh commanded Moses." So notice what's interesting here is, you know what? Moses is not teaching the men. Who is teaching the men? Eleazar. Because what you've got is a transition where now Eleazar is taking on the role because Moses is about to be moving on. And what's intriguing is, remember that in Genesis, the age of man was supposed to be 120 years. Do you know how old Moses was when he's taken? 120 years. Exactly right. Okay, so this is the command. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, and the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire shall be put through the fire. And it shall be clean. And it shall be purified with water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire you shall put through the water. And you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean, and afterward you may come into the camp. Now, you're like, I don't really understand. Well, what's happening here, for those who may not have read, is that they're asked to go in and judge Midian. And they've gone and they've done a lot of judgment of the people. People died, so they've touched corpses. They've touched death. And so before they can actually enter the camp, these are regulations that are set up for them to go through. Now, key points. Very important. To cross over from the world into the camp, or that the camp represents the kingdom, purification must occur. You can't just come back into the camp. And part of this gets us ready for the High Holy Days. You can't just, Yahweh will send you out in the world, but when he brings you back for the feast days, you still have to purify yourself to prepare for them. All right? So it's about a crossover from the world back into the kingdom. If it can go through the fire, then it must also go through the water. Notice the point here is that if it can go through the fire, and most of what's spoken of are the metals used in the what? The tabernacle. The places closest to Yahweh. Many of them would be considered treasures, the gold, the silver. Even metal, if you're in the middle of the desert, can be important for tools. But if it can go through the fire, and notice the point of the fire is actually to purify the inside. But the outside must also be washed. It must also go through the water. Okay? He says, if it cannot withstand the fire, then it must go through the water anyway. So in the end, all must go through the water. Now, connect that to the reality of Yeshua speaking to Nicodemus in the night. He says, everybody must be born again. And speaking about the idea of coming through the water, everybody must do that. And he's like, I don't really understand. There's a connection. We're not going there today. But that's a great study. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. See if you see a connection between what we just read. In those days, John of the mikveh, or the immerser, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his simple message. It wasn't a 45-minute long teaching. Okay? Change. For the kingdom of God is this close. You can enter in, but you have to be cleansed to enter in the kingdom. The kingdom is close. Matthew 3, 5, and 6. Then all of Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him and went through the mikveh, water, by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Okay? So a huge number of people, their heart was changed, and they went out, and they realized when you go into the water in mikveh, what you are declaring to the world. See, the mikvah is actually a point that you've been cleansed, but you want to share with the world that you've been cleansed. So you go under the water and come out going, you know what? I'm telling the world that Yahweh's changed me. I'm not the same person. And I want to show the world that it's my desire to be clean for Him. All right? It's an outward example. Continues in verse 7 and 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his mikveh, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." Now, guys, I really need you to hold on. I'm not going to bring that up until one of the last few slides. But he's telling them, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Okay? Now, here's the important connection. Verse 10. 10 in the next few. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, what's intriguing here is that fire has two purposes. And we're going to see later, there's another thing that has the same two purposes. Fire can either purify or it can destroy. Right? We'll see as the scripture, cut down, thrown in the fire. That means it's gone. Or put into the fire to actually have impurities that are in the inside, because there's a different level of density, they rise to the top so you can take the impurities out. And guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to enter a season where Yahweh is going to put you in the fire, and there's going to be impurities you didn't know about yourself that are inside, and they're going to rise up, and you go, I don't know why I'm so frustrated right now. He's making those impurities come to the surface so you will, number one, open your eyes to them, bring them to Him, and allow His Spirit to begin the process of fixing that. Verse 11 and 12. Here's the important connection. I indeed mikveh you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am unworthy to carry. He will mikveh you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here's the connection. Anything that can go through the fire had to go through the fire and then go through the water. But notice that what's going on here with regard to these mikvahs is that the mikvah of the Holy Spirit and the mikvah of repentance, repentance was the water, the Holy Spirit was the fire. Okay? But even if you had the Holy Spirit in you, you still have to go into the through the water. Have to. Acts, and I want to give an example. You're like, well, come on. Yeah, that's one great place. I'm actually going to give you a little example where this plays out. Okay? Well, I'm not going to. The scripture happens to have one. All right, so here we go. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 and 44. Peter is meeting with Cornelius. Okay? Peter's meeting with Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. At this point, the Jewish people thought that the Gentiles were of very little worth. So think back to that verse in Numbers. Only the thing of worth, gold, silver, tin, lead, that those things that can go through the fire, they go through the fire. They didn't think Gentiles. They thought of Gentiles more like wood. They were not of the same importance, so they didn't think that they would be able to go through the fire or handle the fire. Okay, so maybe they can go through the water, but maybe not the fire. To him, all the prophets witnessed. Now he's speaking, teaching Cornelius about Messiah. To him, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. as Peter was teaching, the Holy Spirit came down. This is after what happened in Acts. So guess what? The people were just hungry to hear. They heard the message. They were so hungry. And I want you to think about this idea. When you're hungry, you're open. Like your stomach's open. Whatever, I'm going to eat it. Okay? Their heart was so open. It didn't. They heard the word. It just came. They didn't have to ask it. They didn't have to invite it. They wanted his word so bad. And when the word showed up, boom, with his breath, they had the Holy Spirit. Now watch what happens, what Peter says. Verse 46 to 48. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water? That those should not go through the mikveh who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And he commanded them to go through the mikveh in the name of Yahweh, that they be asked him to stay a few days. How in the world would you command someone that they have to go through the mikveh? Well, the scripture says if they can go through the fire, then they better go through the water. That's what the scripture says in Numbers. And if the Spirit is in them, then they better go through the water to be cleansed. Because what's happening is the Spirit is going to show us our impurities. So it'd be like showing, hey, I'm going to show you all your faults, but you can't fix any of them. Of course you want to go into the water. The first thing you want to do is go in the water because you're going, ugh. Think of it as a moment. I want you to think for a moment that you just woke up, you went out and did some yard work. And I don't mean like normal yard work. I mean like bad yard work where you're like sweaty, smelly, and dirty. Now you have me walking down the road, and now imagine you walk into the woods for a moment, and there is Yahweh. At that moment, you go, I'm not prepared to meet, come in your presence. The point of mikveh is that outward cleansing, that you're prepared to meet him. Now, you know what? Yahweh's not going to be worried about how I had worked out. He's going to worry about how my soul's cleansed. But it's a good example for us to understand. Okay? Now, Matthew 4:1, when Yeshua, this is after Yahweh opened the heaven, says, this is my son of whom I am well pleased. It says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. The Spirit is going to lead you into tests. That's part of his job. And I need you to hold on to that thought. The Spirit's whole goal is to test your heart, to reveal what's in there. But there's more to it than that. I just brought back Genesis 6:3, where Yahweh says, my Spirit shall not strive with man forever. There's a time limit to this striving. I think about Balaam. And it's a great study for you to go back and check. It wasn't until Balaam repented with the three times with the donkey. He goes, please forgive me, please forgive me. The next prophecy, go back and check, it says, the one whose eyes are open and whom the Spirit is in. So through repentance, quite often, actually leads you, if you want to do a great study, I'm not going there, Acts, the life of Paul actually corresponds to Balaam because he repents of his actions, his eyes are opened, right? Spirit comes upon him. Same thing. All right, consistency. In the case of Balaam, what was the angel of Yahweh going to kill Balaam with? Sword. How many times was he given mercy? Three times. Isn't it interesting that Exodus 20 says that for those who hate me, I will to the third and the fourth generation. He has a time limit, right? Well, guess what? Did anyone read Torah portion, they go into the kings of Midian, they kill blank, 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 but they don't say how they killed them, but then they go, and Balaam, and they specifically say, he was killed by the sword. Because three times he was saved from the sword, but not the fourth. Not the fourth. He'd given way, a huge amount of warning here. The sword was coming. All right. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect, complete by the flesh? Now, trying to make this make sense, that means that that the Spirit's job as a teacher is to actually complete the work. It's not the flesh's job to complete the work, which means it's not your job to complete the work in you. It's Yahweh's Spirit in you's job to complete the work in you. But the question is going to be whether you struggle against Him or not. Right? Romans 8:15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim. When His Spirit comes in us, then there's a reality, there's a part of Him. It's like almost like we've been genetically altered, because now you have part of Yahweh's genetics in you. Part of His genes, His Spirit is now in you. Romans 8:26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in your weakness. For we do not know what we should pray or what we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows the mind, and the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. That means the Spirit's going, you know what? I'm looking into the heart of this person, and this person really needs patience. And so He's actually, and patience is a good issue for me to bring up. How many of us want to pray for patience? Right? Quite often we're saying, no, You know what? Whether you pray for patience or not, if you need it, the Spirit is praying for you. And He's setting up, Yahweh's setting up trials and tribulations to actually extract patience from you. That's going to be part of the goal. Okay? 8:28 and 29. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Elohim. To those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined. To be what? Conformed to the image of His Son, which is the Word. So what is the Spirit doing? It's conforming you into the image of His Son. That's its job. Another way of thinking of it is conforming you into the image of Yahweh, because Yahweh's Word is in the image of Himself. So we see Yahweh revealing Himself to Moses, all of this mercy and kindness and long-suffering, those are all traits the Spirit's praying for you. Whether you want them or not, the Ruach is praying, communicating, the Spirit, the breath is, conforming, converting, perfecting, making complete, making good, just like what we hear in regard to Genesis. The Ruach is changing us. His breath is changing us. Psalm 19:7 says this. It's a great verse to bring to people that say that the law is bad. Look at the purpose of the law. The law of Yahweh is perfect. For what purpose? Converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The goal here is that His Word and His Spirit's goal is converting your soul. That's what He's going to do. Think about creation for a moment. Okay? I want you to think about just chapter one. Forget the rest of it, just chapter one. So here's my question for you. All right? My question is, did Yahweh make creation perfect? Or did He make it and then perfect it? Let us sit for a minute. Did He make it and then perfect it? Or did He make it perfect? Watch what happens. Genesis 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim was hovering over the face of the waters. So He's made the heavens and the earth, and they are without shape or form, and they are dark, and they are empty. Into that, He now speaks and says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and He divided the light from darkness. Do you know what? The Spirit and Yahweh, through His Word and Spirit, are doing the same thing with us. Did we all not come out of darkness into a great light? Were we not made and were living in darkness to come into that light? Made and then process of being perfected. Right? So it's almost like He went and got all, He's like, I got this great idea for building this Lego structure. So the first thing He does is go out and gather all the pieces. That's the first two verses. But it's meaningless till He actually starts connecting the pieces. And then what order? Which one's on top of the other? Same thing in our lives. See, if you want to go back and see what the Spirit and Word and what Yahweh's plan is, it's Genesis 1. He wants to come into you, and that darkness means ignorance, and it means sin. The light is truth. So what He's going to do is, He's going to come into you, He's going to go, "I'm going to reveal it to you, truth, into your darkness." And then you know what? Then I'm going to have my Spirit take, so that you go, "Well, is this gray? Is this dark or light?" The Spirit's going to convict you. That's light or that's darkness. And your whole life is a dividing of light versus darkness. Light dividing the waters from the firmament. Dividing truth from lie. That's what it's going to do. Same thing happened. And at the end of each day that Yahweh did, He declares, and He saw His work, and His work was good. And that's the idea that I've completed that day's work. That part of the process is done. I've made it perfect. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. So what is He perfecting? What takes so long that our entire lives are going to be a struggle? I believe Jeremiah 17 tells us. Verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful, another word is insidious, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So where does Yahweh start with us? He starts with us with a horrific, insidious heart. And He wants to make our heart what? Pure. A place that He can live and habitate with us. A place that's clean. It's full of His Word. What's interesting is that He's going to test the mind. The mind here is the idea of reins, like the reins of a horse. Control. He's going to test who's in control. And you know what? If you go back to most of the tests in our lives, it's testing, did we really give over control to Yahweh, or are we still in control of that? And it doesn't mean, like, that specific plan. No, no, no. It can mean when we were going towards that plan, and it wasn't Yahweh's way at that point, and he wanted to change our direction, did we fight against him? Or do we go, oh, no, 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 it's his plan. Let's go this other way. Right? The test of who is in control of where the car's destination is, your life's destination. Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Listen to this. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your holy presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold, support me by your generous spirit. It's a prayer. Now the point here is that you're asking for a spirit that's willing to persevere. So no matter what problem you're going through, you're asking for to be able to persevere. You're asking that he doesn't take you away from his presence, and the presence is the connection through the Holy Spirit and his word. It's also the recognition that his Holy Spirit is the one guiding you. So if it's guiding you always in Yahweh's way and he takes it away, It'd be like me abducting you with a black bag right now, flying you to another country, driving you out in the middle of nowhere, putting a sedative into your body, driving off while you're still asleep, and you waking up in the middle of nowhere. No cell phone. You are lost, afraid, and have no idea what direction to go in. That's what it's like when we lose the Ruach. You know what? I know that place. We've probably all been there more than once. More than once. Interesting, too. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and support me with your generous spirit. Continue to give me the support through your spirit that I need. Ezekiel 18, 30 to 32. Therefore I would judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says Yahweh Elohim. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity would not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in death of one who dies, says Yahweh Elohim. Therefore, turn and live. Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20. Listen to what Yahweh says. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Now, what's intriguing is, you know what? At some point, his word came written on stone. And he wanted us to put his word in our heart, right? Wasn't it interesting that at some point, his word came wrapped in flesh? Like he pulled out the heart of stone, and he actually replaced it with a heart of flesh. A Torah that we didn't just have to read, but a Torah that we could watch. A Torah that we could follow. And remember, it's your heart. His goal is to give you a new heart. To cleanse the insidious one that's within all of us. Ezekiel 36, 24 and 25, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. Interesting, as you're going into the land, you're going to be sprinkled with clean water. Sound like this week's Torah portion? And you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you should keep my judgments and do them. Notice that his word and his spirit, the whole goal of giving them is so that you can cause you to what? Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments. It better prepares us to actually keep his word. To be a better example. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable Elohim, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. That you will prove in your actions and your words what is good. Meaning that's a fancy way for saying Yahweh can come down with his photographer and take a picture, click, put it in a dictionary and go, good, see Nathaniel. Perfect will, see whatever. Meaning your life as a snapshot become the definition for complete and good. Now, I brought up the idea of fire before. I said that fire has two properties. It can purify, but it also can what? Destroy, consume. You know what? Another act of the Spirit is to cut. And you know what? There are two opposite kinds of cuts in Scripture. There's cut off, which means the entire branch, woo, thrown into the fire. But you know what? Just because you're obeying doesn't mean you don't get cut. Because everything that bears fruit is going to be pruned. So you know what? Yahweh is a God of cutting. He likes to cut. But the question is whether you're allowing his spirit and word to get in you, and thus your life is becoming a place that others can come and find fulfillment. Find truth. And if not, you get cut off. But even if you're following, you can't keep producing more fruit unless you're pruned. So we can't come into this movement going, you know what? I've come in. Yahweh's made me perfect. I'm good. No, 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 no. The mikvah of the Spirit is a process from that point until you enter His presence. The goal is you stay in the fire. This mikvah, you don't just go in, but you're going to be in and constantly changing. And there are seasons he loves to turn the heat up a little bit because there's that one piece that hasn't melted yet inside of you to come up to the surface for you to notice yet. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And this word lust maybe is not the best word. It's sort of strive against or to want. And I almost say it like the flesh and the spirit are struggling over your soul. The flesh is going, I want the soul. I want the soul. Give me the soul. And the spirit's going, no, 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 no. This is Yahweh's. Yahweh gets this. And so the flesh is constantly fighting against. So the real struggle is always within us. Always inside of us. And those that are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the enmity. This is what was lost of the law. Enmity is the punishment. So if you're led by the Spirit and you continue to follow the Spirit, are you going to die and be separated from God forever? Of course not. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Now listen to this. Remember I talked about the fruits? Like the fruits of the Pharisees and Sadducees produce fruits of repentance. Ezekiel, Jeremiah talks about the fruits. It says now the works, but probably the best word there with fruits. What are the fruits of the flesh? Now guys, before I read these are going to be a good verse for you to go back going, am I acting like this right now? Okay? This is one of those where it's like a psychology teacher or a psychiatrist comes back to this going, well, these are symptoms. So let's look at our symptoms. These are fruits of the flesh. And they're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Remember we talked about that? You're like, where did that come from? Why did I just go like that? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit what? The kingdom of God. They can't come into the kingdom of God. Sorry. You can't cross over from the world into the kingdom of God. If these are your fruits, you can't. You'll go to the door, and when you walk through that door, it's like having your whole body full of metal, and you're at the airport. Beep, 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 beep. Sorry. We can't let you on. Can't let you on. Doesn't matter. You wore your greatest outfit to hide all of that metal, but it doesn't matter. Can't let you on. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I sometimes wonder if it's not that we don't learn these in order. Meaning that our first lesson of the first fruit of the Spirit is Him teaching us how to love. And on top of joy of love, then He teaches us what joy is. And we have some inkling of joy, then He comes along and teaches us peace. I don't know that many of us get past this one. And this long suffering, the problem that's going on may not be because of sin. It may be just to strengthen your long suffering. So that you have it. Remember, Yeshua said, it's those who hold on to the end that will be saved. Well, how can He say that if He's not going to teach you how to hold on to the end? That's long-suffering. I don't see Him. I don't feel Him. I haven't seen Him in a long time. The problems keep stacking up. How can I keep believing? This is a hard one. And of course, I believe this to be like sort of the pinnacle. When you have all of these other things, it sort of leads to the idea that you have self-control. we're more like caged lions. Open the cage, there's no control. Or maybe there's some, but not a lot. These are the lessons of the Ruach. These are the fruits that he's trying to produce in your life. These are his goals. This is what should be there by the time you're done in your life. Yahweh's will through the Ruach. The Spirit struggles with our flesh to free us from the world, from this kingdom. That's what it's doing. The Spirit is leading us into tests to strengthen the characteristics and lessons taught and reveal to us weaknesses and strengths. The Spirit is going to lead you in the tests. It can't just keep revealing words and not see if you're actually going to do them. The Spirit is rebuilding our heart and mind and changing it from insidious to holy. That's an incredible change. Insidious to holy. The Spirit is separating light from darkness. The Spirit is conforming us into the image of our Father to make us good, complete, perfect. The mikveh, the ruach, and the fire examples. And I'm going to go through these. I'm almost done, by the way. Almost done. When Yahweh's will is done, it may not be done in your lifetime. Yahweh has bigger plans than one lifetime. I'm going to give just two examples. If you go back to Genesis, it says that Terah, just out of the blue, decided he's going to take his children with him and he's going to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and move to Canaan. His son Haran dies. And midway through the journey from Ur of the Chaldeans to Canaan, isn't it interesting that Yahweh called Abraham to go to Canaan? I wonder if Yahweh called Terah to go to Canaan. Why would he go to the same place that Abraham was going to be going to? Halfway through, it says that Terah stops at a town called Haran. What's the likelihood he ends up at a town with the name of his son that died? What's the likelihood he ends up at a place, says, I can't go any further, and names the town after his son? His son's death, says, for whatever reason, causes him that he can't go any further. That's as much change as he could do. But from there, Yahweh calls Abraham. Does Abraham make it to the land? Yes, he does. Is Yahweh's word accomplished? Yes, two generations. You're like, oh, come on, you're speculating there. Well, how about Egypt to the Promised Land? The people in the Promised Land only knew slavery. They only knew what it meant to be in prison. And when you speak to individuals who come out of prison, it's very hard to make that transition into life. It's very difficult. It's a completely different lifestyle. They only knew slavery. Yahweh already knew before he brought them out that they weren't going to make it into the land. Bigger plan. So what he did, he said, your one heart's desire is to be set free. I will set you free and bring you into the wilderness. The generation that grows up in a wilderness grows up with a suitcase. All they know is we have to pack up and move somewhere else. And then we stay there for a little bit. We pack everything up and move somewhere else. Where do you think the desire of their heart's going to be now? Yahweh, just give us a place that we can call our own and we'll do whatever you ask. Right? And they're willing to go into land and face their fears. Not because they were more righteous than the first generation. And Yahweh's very specific of that. But they have been changed. And the third generation grows up in the land. All they know is ever living in the land, in a place that Yahweh gave them. 3 generations. How about Yahweh starts a work in Abraham? He continues in a work in Isaac. And he completes part of that work in Jacob. And he makes from Jacob what? Israel. One Gentile, through 3 generations, he turns into Israel. Separating the ways of the world from his ways. Teaching them and leading them that they can be an example to the entire world. Yahweh's plans are bigger than us. So my key points, we get ready to close. To cross over from the world into the camp or the kingdom, purification must occur. If you're going to enter into the kingdom, what does John say? Repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, everybody, because guess what? The high holy days are around the corner. The kingdom is at hand. If you can go through the fire, and we're supposed to be called to be living what? Sacrifices. Sacrifices live in the fire. That's right. If you can go through the fire, then you must also go through the water. If you cannot withstand the fire, then you must still go through the water. Everything must go through the water. Okay. This song summarizes all of what we've truly talked about today. Do you realize that when you're praying and we sing this song, that you're praying the Yahweh basically like sets the spirit on you ravenously against yourself for yourself? Meaning you're giving permission to Yahweh to allow his spirit to go as hard as he wants, knowing you're going to struggle, but knowing the best is going to end when he's done. Now, there may be some of us that are not ready to make that prayer. Because remember, what he says is going to happen. But you know what? He's kind of already said it. So, that's up to you. What we're going to do to end before we do blessings is we're going to sing that song. So I'm going to ask Stephen to come up. I'm going to put the words up. You don't need to stand. I will ask if you just take some of the lights down for a final blessing. Yevarecha Yahweh Vaishmerecha. Ke Yahweh Timendecha Itiparteha. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh Panavidecha Vihunecha. Ke Yahweh Agas to Rosto Spendeser Soberti Otoge Simendad. May Yahweh's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh panavidecha, v'yasem lacha shalom. Ki Yahweh muestre su rosto sobre ti ite concede su paz. May Yahweh's face, when it turns towards you, may he give you his peace. Shabbat shalom.